League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Let's begin.
This is the Boss.
I'm the Boss.
And the Gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios.
O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul.
And the Boss and the Gloss is back. I'm sitting next to the Gloss. She's dancing to the music, and you look in good spirits.
I'm trying to cheer myself up. Got my Warrior Blue on. Still a fan.
It is amazing what has transpired in the NBA over the last week.
The whole landscape has changed in 7 days.
Everything
Seriously
is different.
Crazy.
Jose has a new haircut. All is well. Jose, how are you doing?
It's a haircut for the offseason. No, not really. I just actually put some product in it. Made it look a little nice.
Product driven and looking good.
I will say, I'm proud of you. I thought you were going to show up in like sweats and Kleenex everywhere, all emotional.
No.
You did have a couple days to recuperate.
With cupcake stains on my cheeks and everything.
No, the Gloss. She always looks good.
It was a rough couple days. Yeah, but you know why I'm not? Because they were so beautifully valiant in defeat. I'm going to talk about that later because it's hard to find a silver lining in losses.
Well, we will go through all the developments in the NBA, including the potential end of a dynasty. We can revisit whether that's true or not. Yes. The coupling of what some are now calling the best duo in NBA history.
Oh my gosh, it's Overreaction Monday.
Overreaction Monday. LeBron and AD are paired. We can take a good look at what this means for the Lakers and the Pelicans and perhaps the rest of the league. And we do have this thing, the NBA draft, coming up Thursday. Very exciting to see how that unfolds. It looks like they're the big three and then a big drop-off in talent after that. And a big mystery as to what the Pelicans will do with pick number four.
I think there's a lot of interest there for number four. So we'll have to see what they can get.
And then we broadcast out of Houston, all kinds of turmoil, it might seem,
man,
for the Rockets.
Oh, man, they become the new Lakers. They took over the telenovela here in Houston.
Well, the Lakers, the amazing thing about them is just 3-4 weeks ago, they were a team in utter disarray, the worst front office, all kinds of drama
Rudderless,
there. And now, all of a sudden, they're the favorites to win the NBA championship next year. How tide has turned.
What a difference a week makes.
I will unpack all those topics when we return, and we'll get a good look at what the future holds for the Golden State Warriors from the Gloss here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Okay, so much has happened in the NBA that it seems like the finals ended long, long ago.
It was only about
3 or 4 days ago, right?
Right.
So let's take a moment. When you look back at that series, Toronto defeating Golden State at Oracle, what are your observations now?
You know, I'm going to say two things about Toronto. First of all, congratulations, because what a classy team. Well coached. You know, Nick Nurse has paid his dues. He came up and did a fantastic job with a team of one superstar in Kawhi Leonard. Credit Masai Ujiri for bringing him in.
At
great risk, honestly. And, you know, some unproven players. And you had people like Fred VanVleet stand up and just be the star of Game 6 and several other games. So I would say with Toronto, because I'm going to be honest, I don't really want to talk a lot about it because it cut me real deep here, this loss. This is a killer for me. But Toronto took advantage of devastating injuries to Kevin Durant, season ending, Klay Thompson, and Kevon Looney, who was not himself, their best option at center, and just couldn't play through you know, the amount of pain he was having. So they rightfully took advantage of that, as they should. Rockets take note. And secondly, you know what? They rose to the occasion. They played well enough to win. And it wasn't easy. And I mean, you think of a decimated Warriors team. They lost by 4 in a game 6 on their home court. So it was, can you imagine what they would have been at even half the strength that they had? But that's not the case. Credit Toronto. I really do, you know, want to give it to them. That it was given to them, this chance, and they took advantage of it.
Well, it is amazing. They may be a one-season championship team, right? They sneak in with some injuries, get past Golden State, and now with Kawhi leaving, or maybe leaving, that team may look very different next year. But a weird series as well.
I think this is the strangest finals I've ever experienced. Not drama with the players.
Right.
But let's just, I just want to take you through a quick look at all this, starting with, on both sides, Warriors part owner Mark Stevens shoving Kyle Lowry in the back.
Right.
And then yelling F-bombs at him. When Kyle Lowry had gone out of bounds and Mark Stevens was sitting courtside, he didn't even touch Mark Stevens. That was super strange.
Not normal behavior for a part owner of a basketball team.
No, and especially the Warriors, who are such a squeaky clean organization. You know, that is just odd. This one is one of my all-time favorites. I don't know if you remember this, but since I watch every nanosecond of these games, Drake picking lint out of Steph's hair during a game.
Yes.
And that it was the same game he trash-talked, you know, Draymond after game 1. Then you have KD's emotionally charged return in game 5 to only 12 minutes later have this emotionally charged season-ending Achilles injury.
Yeah, that
all
turn,
in the same game.
The high of his return and how well he was playing after that long layoff.
Have you ever?
To then leave the court hobbling.
He set a personal record of making all 3 threes in the first quarter. I mean, just the high and low of those 12 minutes was insane and insanely devastating. Then you had, which was equally as devastating, the callous Raptors fans that were cheering and jeering for KD's injury. That was so disgusting. Credit the Raptors players who were immediately calming down that crowd. I mean, that's why I say this is a class group. And this is, you know, this takes a lot for me to say this.
Sure.
But they were.
Sure.
And then you've got Bob Myers. I've never seen a GM of the Warriors, you know, his very tearful post-game presser about KD. And that was heartfelt, and that's why this team is like they are. They are like a family. Then you've got, okay, this is a bad one. I don't like this. Raptors fans heckling the Curry family. So you had a Raptors fan arrested for vulgar comments that he made on live TV about Steph's wife, Aisha. Come on, dude. Really? Like, I'm glad you're arrested. Then Dell and Sonia, Steph's parents. I mean, Dell played in Toronto. Come on. They, you know, got heckled all over the city and in their hotel. And so I don't love that. You have, let's give the Golden State Warriors a little shame. The wife of Joe Lacob, the owner, blows up on social media as she is, you know, leaning over Beyonce to talk to Jay-Z. I'm not thinking you mess with the queen like that.
No.
In game 3. And then, oh gosh, Klay tearing his ACL in game 5. But if that's not enough, he reverses course in the tunnel when someone says, Klay, if you don't shoot these free throws, you can't come back in. He runs back on the court. You and I know ACLs from our families. Runs back on that court and on his lame leg, shoots and makes 2 free throws en route to his 30-point game. And he told Kerr, all I need is 2 minutes in the locker room and I can come back. Now, wow. Okay, then during this, here's how it ends here. During Thursday's on-court celebration at Oracle, you know, GM Masai Ujiri from Toronto, he doesn't have his gold band, his credential that he needs to get on the court. And you can imagine security's pretty tight
course,
when you've got NBA players everywhere. So he and the deputy sheriff get into it, and he punches the guy in the face and then enters the court. So he's now got battery charges against him. But I've got to say, I've never witnessed a team in Golden State more valiant in defeat as Golden State was, and they were classy. And I hope the NBA takes note. It's hard to see this all happen. Things happen. Congratulations to Toronto. But have you seen a weirder set of circumstances?
It was quite a series,
and
no
it
didn't
involve players for the most part.
Right,
which is good.
A lot of off court
positive
misbehavior and antics and social media frenzy, no doubt.
And then today in the parade, a gunman.
Yeah,
I mean, come on, Toronto.
Yep,
the players are awesome. The fans, they come on.
Tough crowd.
I don't know what this was, but I think they did get some suspects, which is great.
Yep,
and two people in serious condition, but not life threatening. So, prayers for them. Crazy town.
So the narrative coming out of this series, and particularly with the injuries to both Durant and Thompson, is that this is the end of the era, that the great Warriors run is now over.
No. No. Never underestimate the heart of a champion. And these guys are three-time champions. That was a Rudy T line, I might add.
Yes, out of Houston.
I mean, there's some unanswered questions,
right.
No doubt.
I mean, one big mystery, of course, is whether KD will stay.
Mm-hmm.
He'll have the opportunity, even though he's not going to get to play next year.
$31.5 million option to
stay. He can opt in for $31 million and get paid $31 million to rehab, or he can go sign a max deal somewhere else. He's so good that someone will sign him to a max contract right now and have him sit. So that's just a great credit to him. And by the way, his whole stature, I think, rose by his willingness to come out and play when he obviously wasn't 100%, give it up to the team, and pay really what is the ultimate sacrifice in the NBA. When you look at the landscape of injuries and what takes place for players, I mean, ACL tears are awful, but there's a path back that's usually pretty linear, and you know what that looks like. Torn Achilles are as devastating an injury as anybody gets. Anyway, he is positioned fine economically, and he will rest next year. The question is whether he'll rest with a future that looks like the Warriors, or he'll go do it for the Knicks or anybody else.
You know, it'd be nice on one hand for him to rehab with the Warriors. There's no pressure.
Sure.
No pressure for him to hurry it up or come back. I mean, he knows, they know, his team knows, that's a mutual respect between these parties. If he goes to a new organization, there is going to be pressure. He doesn't know that medical staff. There's going to be pressure of, hey, we gave you all this money. Like, come on, let's get back on the court. You know, so I would say that's an interesting thing that he's going to have to weigh. However, he still has this deal, these feelings of insecurity about his place in the NBA. I hope it was answered with the response that he got by coming back in game five and giving the Warriors everything he got. But I think that may be the factor that gets him someplace else. It's not that he doesn't love playing with the Warriors. It's his own feelings of insecurity and knowing his place in the league. But my gosh, I mean, the Warriors want him back badly. But another team will come at him with a full max, no doubt.
So when we look at the landscape of the Western Conference now, Golden State is certainly taking a step back for no other reason than injuries. Houston is a big-time mystery, and we got to come back to them. Lakers, though, now, add the great AD to LeBron. I mean, the narrative there, maybe the best duo in history, all that hype has come about. Lakers now the number one favorite out of Las Vegas to win the championship next year. Is it amazing to you how fast the Lakers have turned things around?
It's amazing how fast everybody thinks they have turned things around. Yes, and you know the common denominator here is RP, and that is not Rob Pelinka.
Yep.
It's Rich Paul.
Rich Paul.
Who is Anthony Davis's agent, LeBron's agent, and he's all things NBA. And I mean, he made it happen. Credit him. And I think that really AD was the only free agent option that would have considered coming to the Lakers, given the absolute dysfunction going on in that organization.
Well, when I look at the NBA now, what I see is a rise of a player and agent-driven league. It's much less the GMs are orchestrating and putting the pieces of a puzzle together to build a team, and it's much more the players are talking and having sidebar conversations and getting agents to manipulate outcomes. And that's certainly the case with Rich Paul. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Chris Sheridan of Sheridan Hoops about all things NBA. And I do want to ask him, do we see a different era in the NBA, an era governed by, run by guys like Rich Paul, the super agent, who represents both LeBron and Anthony Davis and has now put them on the same team? He's the real mastermind behind this deal. And we'll ask Chris Sheridan what this means for the long-term future of the NBA when we return on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss
on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, Carla, are you doing a repair to your car that needs a special tool?
No, you definitely not.
Am I asking the wrong person?
Yes, but enlighten me. Maybe I will.
All right, well, let me ask to all of our audience out there, are you doing a repair that needs a special tool? Because O'Reilly Auto Parts makes it easy with their loaner tool program. Over 80 loaner tools are available, so they're sure to have you, well, they're sure to have a tool in stock to help you get the job done. Purchase the needed parts and put down a deposit on the loaner tool, and then return that tool in original condition and receive a full refund. That's O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. You could do that, Carla.
I think I could. You've encouraged me.
All right.
I'm willing to try it.
Get to O'Reilly and make
it
happen.
Go O'Reilly.
All right. We're still holding for Chris Sheridan of Sheridan Hoops, hoping that he can join us on what is a very big Monday post an exciting NBA weekend with the big trade that really changed the landscape of the NBA. Anthony Davis going to the Lakers for a bevy of assets back, and we'll talk about what the Pelicans look like after that. But it is notable to me, this trade, if you go back and you think about the role, the change, the big change in the landscape of the NBA to me is the rise of the agents and the free agents and these athletes dictating where players land. So it sure appears that at some point way back in January, maybe before that, LeBron and Anthony Davis and Rich Paul got together and said, we want to put all these pieces together in Los Angeles. And of course, not long after that, Anthony Davis went to his team, with whom he had a whole year and a half left to play on
a
contract.
He changed agents, if you remember. He changed to Rich Paul.
And then they said, no, we need out. Anthony Davis wants to be traded. He's not going to renew after his agreement ends, which had a whole other season to it. That deal could not happen, but AD sat out the end of the season, and now Rich Paul has gotten what he wanted. One other notable thing is it really looks like Rich Paul, the super agent, to both AD and LeBron, clearly, I think an element of his manipulating the outcome was declaring to anybody else, Boston Celtics, New York Knicks, anybody else, if you think you're going to trade for Anthony Davis with the Pelicans, you need to know he's a one-year rental, because at the end of his contract, he's going to go elsewhere. So that just scared away the Boston Celtics and others from putting up their prized assets for AD. You wouldn't give it all up for 1 year. But the Lakers, they were positioned to do so. Rich Paul orchestrating that deal and delivering AD, the biggest prize of the offseason, delivering AD to a Lakers front office that was all but inept and all but broken a month ago. And now they look pretty well positioned.
Oh, my goodness. They look incredible. Las Vegas loves them. They're the odds-on favorite.
Yeah.
You know, to win next year. And what I think, you know, there's so much positioning going on, and you are spot on. This is a player/agent league.
Yep.
This year, starting as of recently, player first, and then the player goes to the agent and tells what he wants. I think they've talked to each other. They go to the agent, and the agent can make it happen because he's representing both sides, or, you know, he's got his deal. And what Rich Paul tweeted out a few days, maybe 2 days before the trade went down, was all caps: "We are going into free agency 2020. Anthony Davis will be in free agency." In other words, Boston, you can run at me as hard as you want, but you're getting him for a year and that's it.
Yep.
And I think behind the scenes, it was L.A., don't worry, I'm getting rid of everybody. We got this. We're clearing the ways. It's going to happen.
Sure.
And it happened. And what also helped facilitate that, let's not discount what happened in that crazy NBA draft lottery. What in the world were the Pelicans doing getting the first pick? I mean, that kind of told the Knicks, don't do your tanking. It's not going to work.
Right. And then Knicks.
Yeah, when the Knicks, when a 14% chance becomes, you know, your guiding light, you got a problem. It's 14%. So Knicks kind of deserved what they got there. But for the Lakers to get their lottery ball at number 4, so this is a huge chip for the Pelicans.
Sure,
so now
is.
The Pelicans got that 4th pick and 3 more first round picks, you know, in exchange for Anthony Davis and a couple of the other great players. And there's a lot of interest in this 4th-round pick. So I don't know if the Pelicans, A, are going to keep it. They might be able to use that in bringing in some veteran players.
Well, so let's consider the Pelicans now. They did get a good bounty back. In fact,
yeah, they did.
When you look at other teams that traded away their superstars, when you look at Chicago and they let go of Jimmy Butler, Indiana let go of Paul George, Minnesota traded Jimmy Butler again, San Antonio Kawhi Leonard when they traded away for DeMarcus DeRozan. Mm-hmm. I think the Pelicans did very well. I think David Griffin,
I think they did really well.
Got what he could in a pretty tough situation because he was held at gunpoint, right? He needed to make this trade, it would seem. He had a one-year rental in Anthony Davis, risked losing him for nothing when a year would pass. The other side of this, of course, he was dealing with the Lakers team that desperately needed to get Anthony Davis. This was the way the Lakers now could reposition and now chase a max free agent, because with LeBron and Anthony Davis, they can go get that max free agent.
And let's take this little side note. David Griffin was the GM in Cleveland when LeBron won a championship for them. The first time when Anthony Davis demanded the trade in February, and it blew up, all the names came out of the young Lakers who were going to be sold for nothing, you know, but they were going to be, LeBron didn't want them anymore. That was a different GM in New Orleans who really botched the whole deal. So no way were the Lakers going to be dealing with the guy at the time. In the meantime, they bring in David Griffin, who has a history with LeBron and Rich Paul, and knows. And this is how, I think, this is another key in how this got done. I mean, the stars were aligning in every way possible for the stars in Hollywood.
Well, back to New Orleans. Here's the deal, of course. Anthony Davis goes to L.A. Lonzo Ball comes back. Brandon Ingram comes back. Josh Hart comes back. And the three first-round picks you mentioned, including one of them being the number four overall selection in Thursday's draft. But those are some nice young players. Now, Lonzo Ball has been a bit of a disappointment, but some of that disappointment is because the hype was so much greater than what was possible for him. He always came into the league wise, wide open. This was a guy who had never really developed a great outside shot. If people saw him for what he was and didn't listen to his father too much, they thought he was a guy who really distributed the ball well, had great ball handling skills, was a good passer, but had a lot of development yet to be done.
And seems like a good teammate. You know, I think the issue for Lonzo Ball, besides what you just mentioned, is also your best ability is availability. And he's very injury prone.
Yeah, he's had injuries.
And, and has had knee surgery and all that. My sadness in having Lonzo Ball involved in this trade is now we got to deal with LeVar.
Yeah.
He was on TV this morning.
He's back.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Yes.
We had a LeVarcation, so darn.
There's no more LeVarcation. The fun thing about that Pelicans team now, it's almost the next Duke, right? I mean, they've got three.
Right.
I'd almost forgotten that Okafor is on that team, the former number one pick of the 76ers, who has found his way. He's now the center of the Pelicans. Of course, Brandon Ingram, a one-and-done Duke player, and then the big phenom to come in. Zion Williamson will be the number one pick on Thursday going to the Pelicans.
So and they will they keep that fourth pick, they could draft another Dookie because John Moran is probably, well, not probably, more than likely
number
going
two.
Second.
Yep. Exactly.
Have another Duke.
So they could have R.J. Barrett.
So Barrett probably goes three, maybe not. Maybe he slips to four. They could get another one. Of course, Cam Reddish is on everyone's short list to be a top eight pick. Yes, they could be the Duke of New Orleans.
Jose, I like how you're thinking.
Isn't Duke also like the medieval, what is the word I'm looking for? Come back to me. The Frenchness of New Orleans. I'm struggling here. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, you're just too advanced for me. I'm not coming with it, but you're going
to
think of it, Jose.
I am.
And enlighten
come
me,
back
please.
To me.
Okay. We will. I know where you live.
I just feel like the Pelicans in a very difficult situation. Rich Paul moving Anthony Davis out of town. I really do think the Pelicans,
they got a nice haul,
did what they could, and they're now positioned for a future at least. You can see a trajectory and where they could go. What they do with the number four pick, great question. Wouldn't bother me if they were to keep that pick and just build a great team. They're all going to grow up together, right? That's a good young nucleus.
Yeah, so they've got really great quality young players. This is a great haul for the Pelicans. It really is. I'm sure for LeVar to go from Staples Center to Smoothie King Arena, it's going to be a little bit of a hit on his ego, but we don't really care about that, do we?
Well, it is interesting.
Kids can afford it.
LeVar Ball, of course, the most vocal one of all, came out. He was upset. He did not like this trade. He said the Lakers will never win without his son.
They will regret this. They will never win another championship.
They're done.
He guaranteed it.
He said so. So it must be so. However, I think this is great for Lonzo. I think to get paired with Zion, it's a perfect fit. I can see the alley-oop passes coming.
And believe me, these young guys did not love being under the thumb and shame of LeBron James.
All right,
he's a tough one to play for.
It's been a great window in the NBA. When we come back, we're going to shift gears to the NFL, and we're going to look at what's going on in Houston. What do these names, Jack Easterby and Nick Caserio and Bill O'Brien, all mean when we return here on SB Nation Radio?
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Carla, I'd like to talk a little travel with you for just a minute.
I love traveling. Let's do it.
Well, most of us do a little travel throughout the year. How are you booking your hotel rooms? Because I've got a suggestion for you.
Okay.
It's called BestHotelRates.com. BestHotelRates.com. BestHotelRates.com has negotiated special rates with over 600,000 hotels worldwide and extended these discounts to you, Carla Dawson, and to every one of our listeners. Simply go to the BestHotelRates.com website, plug in your destination, dates of travel, and voila, you're looking at a discounted rate for many of the hotels you could pay much more for somewhere else.
Are they gloss worthy?
They are worthy of the gloss.
Excellent.
They are very nice places. Book your hotels through BestHotelRates.com. Top-notch customer service backs up your reservation. So your stay is safe and secure at BestHotelRates.com. All right. In Houston, Texas, we have had a little bit of a strange window here for our football team in this city. Brian Gaines, the general manager, fired about a week ago, and presumably it was because the Texans were eyeing the opportunity to hire Nick Caserio, the director of player personnel for the Patriots, and then that deal blew up. Patriots said that was tampering, said they had a contract with Caserio that prohibited his coming, and now the Texans have no general manager. Brian Gaines is gone, Nick Caserio is not here, and the Texans are standing down in their pursuit of Caserio.
I don't like it.
It's an odd week for the Texans.
Yeah, it doesn't pass the sniff test.
Sitting here a week ago. It's interesting to think because, one, we were surprised Brian Gaines got fired. He had a very good draft his first year.
Excellent draft his first year.
Yes. I mean, he only had picks 3 through 6, mm-hmm. right? But he drafted very well. He drafted in those rounds just about as well as anybody did in those rounds 3 through 6. Then this year in the draft, there were some questionable outcomes, but Bill O'Brien was really supportive, saying he loved the pick of Titus Howard, and it would seem at that moment that Brian Gaines' job was safe. And then out of the blue, he was let go with no real detailed explanation for why he was let go, which led me to believe, well, they must think they've got Caserio all lined up to hire, yet Casario's not coming.
He's not coming. And, you know, you look at what Brian Gaines has done this year. And he had, and you've noted this too before, he had two charges. Protect Deshaun Watson immediately.
Yep.
And get help in that secondary.
Yep.
He didn't get immediate help for Deshaun Watson in the draft. And he had a great pick. And he was outmaneuvered by Howie Rosen from Philadelphia on draft day, who jumped 2 ahead of him to grab the best pass-blocking left tackle that was available, Washington State's Andre Dillard. We pick up Alabama State's Titus Howard, who is developmental, and he actually plays right tackle most of the time. That, to me, is a big, fat bust, and that's nothing against Titus Howard. You know, I'm sure he is – all the reports about him are great, but that is the main charge. Deshaun Watson is the franchise. He was the most sacked quarterback in the league last year with 68 sacks in a season. Come on. Protect this guy. Missed out on Trent Brown, who went to Oakland. I think as far as protecting the franchise, that's where he really, really failed. Jadeveon Clowney, he's not showing up. There's still holdout from him. You know, contract talks are not, I don't know if they're not going well, if they're not going, they're not happening. He's not doing anything. He's one of our franchise players. So if I look at just those two things alone, I'm like, darn, Brian, You messed up a good draft you had last year.
So I agree. I have those same question marks. And when I look at Tytus Howard, by everybody's estimation, he's a great athlete. He's a great prospect. But he is developmental. He's not the solution this year.
Right.
However, when that draft went down, everybody reported that Bill O'Brien was elated to get Tytus Howard. That Bill O'Brien had his fingerprints all over that draft. So to to blame Brian Gaines.
O'Brien's decision making?
Well, so how does that come to pass that Brian O'Brien is still here and Brian Gaines is out on the street if, in fact, they were lockstep in unison on picking this guy?
I don't think they were lockstep in unison.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is called picking up the pieces. So it's either – it's one of two things. Brian Gaines was the scapegoat and the fall guy for Bill O'Brien's seeming love of Tytus Howard, or – that happened with Brian Gaines, and you had to balk the party line, but he's out of there. The bottom line is that Bill O'Brien runs the Texans, it appears, at this point.
The bottom line to me is I don't feel like we've really even heard why Brian Gaines was let go. We're sitting here speculating, but there was no explanation. No one has said, we're unhappy with the offseason. We didn't like those draft picks. We think that he should have spent money to get Trent Brown. We think he should have made a trade for Trent Williams. We've never really heard anything from the Texans about
Trent Williams. You're right.
What went wrong? Jeez. We never heard why Brian Gaines is not here. The only statement we've really gotten was that he was viewed as a guy who was better at evaluating personnel than running a whole organization. But right now, they don't have anybody spending time evaluating personnel of his ilk. I mean, they don't. They've just got a hole in the organization.
They've got a hole. And honestly, I think they're going to keep that hole because in Caserio's contract with New England, he has a no trade clause in there. A no interview clause. He cannot interview with anybody without the Patriots' permission. They're definitely not giving permission. They play in the same conference with the Texans, the AFC. They're not giving them permission to do that. And so next year, his contract is up and he will be able to interview. Well, now, thanks to the Texans, everybody knows about Nick Caserio and how great he is. And here's the interesting thing with Nick Caserio. So he's director of player personnel, but he does a lot of the coaching. And Bill O'Brien has lost a lot of his coaching staff. He lost Brian Flores, who was defensive coordinator to Miami. Brian Flores.
You mean Bill Belichick lost.
Belichick. Right. I'm sorry. Yep. Excuse me. Yes. Belichick lost. You know,
Flores is gone
to head coach Miami. Took some coaches with him.
Yep.
So Belichick needs coaching help. So he really doesn't want to let Caserio go.
Yep.
And so I think the options for Houston are three. You can either make a trade for Caserio. They would have to offer draft picks to New England. I don't think Houston would be willing to offer more than a third rounder. And I don't think Bill Belichick's going to be okay with that because Caserio is more than player personnel for Belichick. He's his right-hand man, and he helps with the coaching. So it depends what they're going to need, what they're willing to give up for that. The second is you wait for Caserio's contract to expire next year, which will be after the draft in 2020. And until then, I think Cal McNair would just keep this current management team together, which is everyone answers to Cal, but then it's Bill O'Brien, and then it's Easterby and Olson, and there might be one other one, I think. I believe there is. Matt Bazirgan, I think it is, Director of Player Personnel. Or you interview other candidates. I think that's the least likely situation because there's really not a lot of candidates out there.
Nobody who's inspiring right now. They've done some interviewing, but it is a funny thing because right now it's a household name, Jack Easterby. 2-3 weeks ago, nobody really knew him. He was known for one thing, frankly. He left the Patriots in the wake of on the Patriots team, he was nominally the team chaplain and a counselor to the players.
Yeah, kind of a quote life coach,
character development guy.
And
great to have that on the staff, and he was apparently very instrumental in helping Belichick evaluate players and counsel players on an ongoing basis, identifying the right kind of guys who are the right fit and helping them become part of the Patriots culture. Great role. Great thing, and that was Jack Easterby. Well, of course, when Robert Kraft got caught in the Orchid Day Spa and that scandal came out, Easterby left the Patriots, and many said because this team
couldn't deal with
this. He didn't want to be in that environment, so now he's here in Houston. But it is ironic because just a few weeks ago, nobody even really knew the name Jack Easterby. And now he's a household name because he's got a very, very significant role in this new front office for the Texans.
And, you know, do you remember last year when the Texans were, they hired Brian Gaines in January of 2018.
Yep.
They wanted to talk to Nick Caserio, and the Patriots did not give permission. And there's no way the Patriots are going to give permission for anyone to talk to Nick Caserio. So you're going to have to wait until his contract is up, which is in a little less than a year.
Right.
And at that point, he's so well known. He's done so much already for being Bill Belichick's right-hand man is enough. I don't think the Texans are going to be the only one that are going to be interested in Nick Caserio.
Right.
And so do you hold out and go this whole year with your current management team, which is kind of like when Bill O'Brien became the OC because he had fired his OC. That didn't work out so great. So I don't know. I'm feeling
well. The one thing we have
stomach over the Houston.
One thing
Texans.
We have with the Houston Texans right now is a lot of accountability because it really is yes. Bill O'Brien's authority, autonomy, however you want to slice it. He is in charge of the shop right now. He
Large brought and in charge.
He brought Easterby in, and he is shaping things. He is now the head coach and nominally the general manager.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting times in Houston.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, interesting times in Oakland. You should be delighted, or maybe not so delighted.
Knock, knock. Who's him?
The Raiders have been picked for Hard Knocks, and they are the perfect team for this.
They really are perfect.
They've got so many characters, and they've got made-for-TV guys, certainly the head coach being one, Chucky, right? He's going to be great for this.
Oh, it's going to be perfect. Like, look at what they've got. Okay, first of all, you look at all the news. They got a new coach in Gruden, a new general manager in Mike Mayock, 3 first-round picks that they got. Carr is in comeback mode. AB has a chip on his shoulders. They're going to play in three countries this year, the U.S., Canada, England. They're prepping for their move to Sin City. Okay, that's the first reason. Okay, I've got 2 more good ones.
Okay.
Because I am fired up.
You're getting a little too excited about this.
I am so excited. They're one of the most polarizing teams in all of sports. Love them or hate them.
Yep.
There's no middle ground for the Raiders.
Nope.
You either one way or the other.
And we know where you land.
Love them. Yes. And the third one is you just look at the Renegades and the Outlaws. That in itself is its own series. You got Richie Incognito, Vontaze Burfict, Antonio Brown, always sassy. I love it. And Mad Max Crosby, one of their draft picks. This is going to be fun.
I can't wait to watch.
Chucky hates this. You know
Richie
he hates this.
Incognito. I'm not.
He's not going to be incognito. I'm going to tell you that right now.
No. He'll be front and center. And the cameras will love him. They will follow him everywhere. There he is.
Thank you, Jose.
Incognito. She's got it.
I always feel like I've arrived when I get a drum roll or whatever. Not a drum roll, whatever you call it. Gong.
Well, I'm not. I know that Gruden said he doesn't really want it, this and that. But John's good with the cameras.
He's good with the cameras.
He's going to have his moments, right? The big speech. He's going to have, that whole expression thing going. He'll furrow up his face in a way that you worry, is he going to come out with a knife or come after somebody? I mean, he's Chucky. He's pretty impressive.
He's a Gruden grinder. He's not afraid of the cameras. He's going to do just fine. And I'm excited. I'm so. August 6th is the premiere.
Is that when it all starts?
Yes, it is.
I have no doubt that you will watch every possible second of Hard Knocks this year.
Each episode at least twice.
At least
twice.
She's
hosting watch parties.
Yeah.
And you will be invited, Jose.
I appreciate that because I don't have HBO.
Okay, I got you covered.
Thank you.
And I'll even have some of your cool music like Anderson .Paak and those kind of people that
awesome.
You like. Childish Gambino. I know your people. I'll get you covered.
All right, when we come back, we're going to take a quick look at Cliff Kingsbury and how he has become very adroit at social media. He uses
I love
it.
Your nickname for him.
Well, he's Cliff Kingsbury, Ace Detective, because he loves to follow his athletes online in an incognito way. He comes up with fake social media accounts, follows them all. We'll take a look at that practice when we return. Cliff Kingsbury is the topic of conversation here on the Boston Gloss.
Hardly wait.
Of SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Okay, Carla, let me ask you this question. Have you ever created a false profile on social media in order to connect with people and follow their whereabouts without their knowing?
A burner account?
Sure, a burner account.
I mean, I've just heard that's what it's called.
You have created one. Maybe?
I'll never tell.
Okay, well, Cliff Kingsbury has come out of the closet. He has done so. And he said that, well, he...
About his burner account.
Yes, about his burner accounts.
Got to clarify.
To be clear, in 2016, he revealed that he used to do this with his Texas Tech players. And now the question is he going to do it for his Cardinals players? The amazing thing that I found, well, it's not so amazing, it's actually sort of self-evident, but he was asked, well, how can you get the players to connect with your social media account, with your burner account, when they don't even know the person?
And oh,
you got that one
easy.
Figured out.
This is a man's world. How do you think?
Well, he picks a beautiful woman, just
foxy
takes her
mama.
Image, puts a foxy mama on there, and sends a little request.
Bing. Ants to the picnic.
Oh, yep. Yes. It's like that, isn't it? So he gets inside Scooby, follows where they go, what they're doing. It's pretty good. I think it's a smart move. I might do it for all my employees here at Gal Media. What do you think?
I think you try it, and I want to report back.
Jose, what would it take?
But I'm on to this. I'm just telling you.
What kind of burner account do I need to create to get the gloss to connect to me and reveal all kinds of crazy things?
Oh, Jose will know.
It would have to be who? I'm trying to think what Warriors player doesn't have a Twitter. There has to be at least one.
Yeah. It would be best if I were a Warrior player.
Right.
Or a Raider.
Or a Raider. That would get me
Does
in.
Does John Gruden still have a Twitter? Does he have a Twitter? maybe make a Gruden burner.
Yeah. Send little messages there. She'd respond back. We'd find out all the other world details about Carla's life.
I don't know if we want those revelations,
you don't want
though.
Oh, really?
Trust me. Just be happy how it goes, guys, right now.
It's not that good. All right.
I'm just going to leave it right how we have it. But, you know, credit Cliff Kingsbury, that guy can fail upwards like nobody I've ever seen.
His career at Texas Tech was not very impressive. He got fired. And now he's the head coach of an NFL franchise.
He got fired. He accepted a job at USC only to decline that and take an NFL job. And he's never, ever been in the NFL before. Buy a lottery ticket.
Maybe it was his social media strategy who got him to the top.
Burner account. You're on to something, boss.
We'll be right back talking a little bit of NFL, and then we'll come back to the NBA when we return on SB Nation Radio.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep their trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.